The Passover is past. The night to be observed is past. We celebrated those, honored those events, part of this Holy Day season. But for the 2023 Holy Day season, those are now in the past. And as we continue now into the days of unleavened bread, look forward to the next 7 days, there are many things that we can and should focus on during that time. I won't hit up on most of those things that we should be focusing on, but I do have one thing that is in the future during this time that we're going to be talking about today. During the Sabbath service in 2 days, and again, as I mentioned last night, Christ will be resurrected. Christ's resurrection is the next big event during this Holy Day season. And it's something that, it's sobering to think about it, I guess, when you think about the Sabbath service being here, and during that time where we're sitting here, almost 2,000 years ago, Christ was being resurrected. And it's an awesome thing, and it's certainly a part of this Holy Day season. Christ's sacrifice, it's definitely the reason for the season in many ways, but his resurrection is also part of that and one of the things that has incredible meaning for us. And it should help us as we celebrate this time, as we think about this time, as we think about the impact that that had on our life as well as his sacrifice and what it means for us. So we are going to talk about Christ's resurrection today, and the hope that comes with that resurrection, and the reminders of what it means to us. Because understanding that meaning is part of our observance of this next 7 days. And it is something that will be profitable for both of us. So I have a few points as part of this message that we'll talk about. We'll go through. The first of those is that Christ's resurrection is truly what makes change possible. It makes change possible. It opens the door for us in ways that if it weren't for that resurrection, we would be much less. Our ability to follow God, to live a Christ-like life would be much less. So I thought, to begin with, we'd read from some passages in Luke that talk about some of the changes in the believers that happened immediately after Christ's resurrection. How they started to already notice a difference, or there were differences. So we're going to read for a little bit here in Luke chapter 24, and we'll skip around a little bit within that chapter. And I'll read through the whole chapter, and then we'll talk about some of those changes that were occurring within the group of believers at that time. Chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and he stooped down, and he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he left, marveling to himself at what had happened. And behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together about the things that had happened. And so it was while they were talking and reasoning, they weren't just saying, you know, hey, look at what happened. We saw this, we saw this, we saw this, but actually looking for meaning. What did it mean for us? So as they were conversing and reasoning, Christ himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, and so they did not know him. And then we'll jump to verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish and slow of heart, to believe all of that the prophets have spoken. He was kind of hoping they would recognize. They would be expecting him. Right? Why are you so slow to grasp what the prophets have said is going to happen? What shouldn't the Christ, the Messiah, have suffered all of those things and entered into his glory? Isn't that what the prophecies tells you was going to happen? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then we'll just jump to verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, didn't our heart burn within us when he talked to us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us, and they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. Then we'll go to verse 44. And Christ said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ, for the Messiah, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, so that repentance and remission of sin could be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are a witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father to you, or I will send the promise of my Father to you. But stay in the city of Jerusalem until you've received that promise, until you are endued with power from on high. So we see a number of things in this passage of Scripture. We see that after that Christ was able to reach them, to teach them in a deeper way. You know, they knew all those Old Testament scriptures. They believed, some of them were confident that he was the Messiah, said he was the Messiah. Yet they didn't really recognize the fulfillment, didn't expect the fulfillment. And yet it says that Christ was able to open the scriptures to them. And they and it meant more to them. And of course, this is before the Holy Spirit was given. And it's still, this is a change that you see in them after Christ was resurrected. That some things were different already. They said, remember how we burned. Remember how it felt. That was something they hadn't felt before, it sounds like, if you look at how they were astonished. It wasn't like they always burned when they were walking with Christ and being taught with Christ. But something about that time, that then, they reacted differently to Christ's presence. And in verse 45, he said that he opened the scriptures to their understanding so that they could comprehend them. Christ also said within that passage that remission of sin, pardon from the penalty, true pardon from the penalty that's earned by sin, was now available because he had been sacrificed, and he had been resurrected. And again, he says many times, you won't understand some of these things fully, but you will in the future. You have to imagine that their heads were swirling. What does all this mean? I mean, they're sitting there. Some of them obviously were walking and trying to figure it out already. What does all of this mean? Then Christ comes and he says more things that they really hadn't ever understood before. It had to be encouraging and awesome, but now you're trying to figure out all of this stuff, and you're really starting from scratch in some ways. But that short phrase must have meant a lot to them, that now, not when you had the sacrifices, none of that stuff, but now you could truly be relieved from the penalty of sin. Had to have great meaning for them, just like it does for us. Another thing Christ said was that there was a doorway that was opened. Christ said, this now is not just going to be for the nation of Israel, but for all nations. that now the truth about Christ, the truth about what he brought to the world, the truth about what he had done, what was possible and available, was going to be, the door was open to go to all, to the whole world. Which is an incredible thing. Part of the commission, the reason we're called, but until Christ's resurrection, that wasn't where God's plan was. He was focusing on essentially the nation of Israel. But then Christ was resurrected and that door was opened to share that truth with more people and to take it originally just to the nations right around Jerusalem, but eventually to the whole world. And then another point that's made during that passage is that we now see that promise of more help. Something new that God was going to be giving to those who were called. That power from on high, access and indwelling of God's Holy Spirit that wasn't available until after Christ had been resurrected. None of those things. You know, before Christ's resurrection, there was only just a few people we have record of in the Bible that actually had God's Spirit and recognized it. David certainly did. There are a few of the prophets that appear to have recognized that, you know, God was working with them through his Spirit, not just through visions and things like that. But in general, it wasn't available. Israel as a nation failed because God's Spirit wasn't available in that way to any of them. And after Christ's resurrection, he said, I want you to wait a little bit, but I've got something, our Father has something for you that will make all of the things that I'm telling you you're going to be doing possible. That will change your life. His Holy Spirit. An amazing thing for all of us to think about how that's changed our life. The impact that aspect of Christ's resurrection has had on each one of us. We would not be here. I would not be the person that I am, still flawed as I am. I would not be that person if it weren't for God's Spirit. None of us would be. And yet Christ's resurrection made that possible. And he made those changes. He offered those changes to those early believers as well, just as he offers them to us. Change that he offered to them, change that we can make sure we're working on now. I mean, Christ basically said in here, if we open ourselves up, Christ is going to teach us. Christ is going to open our eyes. He's going to teach us things that are meaningful to our physical growth if we open ourselves up. If we accept that we've sinned and we repent and develop attitudes that lead to change, we will receive a pardon. If we spend these 7 days focused on seeing God's will rather than our own, new doors to our own growth will open up. And I hope that's exciting. I mean, there's a lot of us that have been here a long time. And it's easy to get complacent and easy to think there can't be much new growth left. And yet, that's never a limit that God ever says exists. Christ never says that exists. We get comfortable. We get old and tired and in some ways have less energy. And we get to the point where we just kind of live with the status quo. But this time isn't about the status quo. It's about being excited about seeing new doors to growth open up in each one, in our individual lives, and knowing that it's something that's happening to other people within our congregation and our family as well. And again, Christ's resurrection plays an important part in that being possible for each one of us. And Christ said, again, one of the other opportunities, possibilities that are open to us is that if we allow Christ to live within us and to abide in us, we can lock in those changes. We can make them become part of our character, become part of who we are, just instead of just forcing ourselves. Sometimes with change, you have to force yourself to do what's right to begin with. It isn't part of who you are, part of your character. But it can be. It can be part of who we are. And it's through the hope of that resurrection that we can look forward to those things and believe it's possible. Believe that that change is something that we can do. Do you ever, I would imagine most of you have played What If at some point in your life. As kids, as adults, some of us, I think our natural way of looking at life is a lot of what if. Imagining what how things might be different, or thinking about hypothetical situations and what you might do or how you might respond. I think some people live their life more that way. Other people don't. Different qualities of your characteristics. But I think everyone at some point or another has thought, what if I tried this? What if I gave this a shot? What would the world be like if this was different or this happened? What would my family be like if I did X, did whatever? The Bible plays what if with Christ's resurrection. It says, what if that hadn't happened? And we'll turn to one of those scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What if Christ's resurrection had never occurred? We'll begin in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ is not risen, what if Christ hadn't been resurrected? Then our preaching is empty, and your faith is empty. Yes, and we would be false witnesses before God because we're claiming that he was resurrected. If we testify that God had raised up Christ when he didn't raise him up, if in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. What if Christ hasn't been resurrected? You would still be in your sins. What if Christ hasn't been resurrected? Then all of those who have fallen asleep in Christ have just died. They've come to an end. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Again, if Christ had not been resurrected, we would have no hope beyond this present life. So we'll just take a couple minutes and look at some of those statements, that the what ifs that we just read. Our preaching would be empty if Christ had not been resurrected. There wouldn't be anything much to talk about. We wouldn't have anything to look forward to, anything to hope for. We would be like Israel in some ways, in many ways, I suppose. We wouldn't see a future. We would be without hope. I mean, what was that proof? The only proof that Christ was the Messiah, that he would not just die, but he would be 3 days and three nights in the grave, and then he would be resurrected. We would have no proof that Christ that lived was the Messiah, that had occurred, that the Messiah had come, that he had made the fulfilled the prophecies. If Christ had not been resurrected, there's really nothing that sets him apart from any other preacher, or prophet. Certainly, you know, God inspired all of those things, but it's what sets him apart. It's what makes him the Messiah, is that resurrection. We're also told that our faith would be in vain, because again, we would have faith in something that never happened, that didn't occur. Faith in someone we believed in, who was a Messiah, but didn't take it to the end. You know, I don't remember where I mentioned this, but you know, Christ could have stopped it right up to the end. He tells them, "I have the power to stop this. I could call for legions of angels to come and protect me." If Christ had done that, of course, he wouldn't have been crucified either, but he would not be the Messiah. Our hope would be pointless, would be fruitless. We would have no reason to believe that he had any ability to make the promises that he has given us come to pass. Our faith would be in vain. We're also told that the penalty for our sins would still hang over us, with no hope of a release. Without his resurrection, we would have no hope of release. He died for our sins, but his resurrection completed the process. And again, there would also be no hope of any life beyond this life. You know, our horizon, what we could see, would be limited to just a physical existence. And while that is all we see a lot of times, because we don't keep that vision looking forward, to have God's holy days that push us to see that vision is something that carries us through the year, remembering that there is a hope, there is something beyond physical existence that we can look for. It is, as verse 19 said, only Christ's resurrection that gives us hope. Another aspect of his resurrection is that through it, it's only through it, that we can achieve true victory, that we can win. Always remember, that was one of Mr. Armstrong's sayings. Some of you never even experienced Mr. Armstrong. But he said, "I know the end of the story. I know how it comes out, and in the end, we win." A pretty simple statement, but it's true. And you know, maybe that sounds good to those who are competitive and who like to win. I don't know if it has the same meaning. I'm still fairly competitive. I'm better at it, I guess. But certainly when I was younger, we win. That's great. That's where I want to be in the end. That's winning is the good thing. And the Bible does say that it is a victory that we're looking for. It is a victory that is in our future if we allow Christ to live with us. If we recognize the value of his sacrifice and we recognize what happened because of his resurrection, what's open to us. And it is victory over our sinful nature. It's a victory over the devil. It's a victory over death, all because of Christ's resurrection. Let's move on a little bit in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read a few more verses here and then continue on. Let's read beginning in verse 56, 1 Corinthians 15. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory. And this, you know, 1 Corinthians 15 is essentially the resurrection chapter, right? I mean, it is what talks about that. And that resurrection is that victory over sinful nature. Victory over death and sin through Christ. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read verse 14. "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And this is kind of a cool verse. I like the way he says things. Through us, he diffuses the fragrance of knowledge, of his knowledge in every place. It's like if we're living a Christ-like life, we exude the effects of his knowledge, and it's good. It's a pleasant thing for those around us to experience what it's like to live a life based on the knowledge of God and knowledge of Christ. But again, it's one of those scriptures that says God leads us in triumph, that victory is in our future. And then one final scripture, which I expected this to be short. I think we're doing pretty good. I told you guys last night you were sick of hearing me, so I tried to make this a little bit shorter anyway. Romans chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 37. Romans 8:37. Yet in all of these things we are more than conquerors. Or really it means we overconquer, or we exceed in conquering or excel in conquering. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that there is nothing, ultimately is what he said, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, no depth, no other created thing, which includes Satan and the demons, no other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of that, we are conquerors. We are victors. And again, Christ's resurrection plays a pivotal part in us being able to claim that victory, look for that victory, expect that victory. It is truly his resurrection is a pivotal moment in the plan of God, pivotal moment for each one of us in what doors were open to us, the way it allows God to work with us. It makes so many things possible. And it's something that as we move forward through this 7 days, 7 day feast, should be on our minds. We're still thinking about sin. We're still thinking about the impact it has on our lives. We're still thinking about how we need to overcome. But the reason we can do all of that is something that shouldn't leave our minds as well. And the reason, part of that reason is because of Christ's resurrection. And again, I hope that you take the time. I won't be here this Sabbath, but I will be somewhere else this Sabbath. And I hope you take the time. Watch the clock a little bit. You have to pay attention to the message too, of course. But when that is occurring, think about it. Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. Make it real for you that that's what was happening. Because it's awesome. It's cool to think about. It would be one of those things that, you know, you always, what would it be like if you were there? And of course, we would have been just as out of touch probably as everybody else was, but it would be nice to go back with our knowledge now and go back and watch and see what it was like and see how everything was happening. That's the caveat. Time travel with my knowledge back. That's what I'll go for. But it is an awesome part of this Holy Day season is that resurrection. It is what allows us to lift our eyes up to hope, to know that the path that we have to walk through our lives, which is not easy most of the time, has a great end. And it has great support as we walk that path. That we have hope. As we proceed through today, the next 7 days, don't stop looking for God's direction. Don't stop looking for his help. Don't start asking. Don't stop your examination Don't stop the process of growing and seeing ourselves in a more deep manner, but include the idea, the recognition of Christ's resurrection in your thoughts, in your celebration of this day. Let that lift your heart, even if God chooses during this feast to show you some things about yourself that aren't comfortable. Remember the resurrection and all of the hope and the power that comes through that. And let that be your source of hope. Let that be your guide to permanent change. Let it be what helps you follow the true path and become like our older brother, the firstborn of many, Jesus Christ.